I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 375, I Feel Pretty.
Oh, good for you, Tom.
you could be like, that's because you are pretty, Tom.
No, good for you, Tom.
That's not my job.
Glad you're confident.
You're pretty.
See?
There it is.
We have someone here whose job it is.
She's also biased.
She's
pretty fly for a white guy.
Yeah. I know we promised you, Lindsay, but we got one better. My blushing bride, who happened to have seen the movie.
She's blushing, but I think that's because she just got off an exercise bike.
Yeah. And has a podcast of her own. That's more popular than this one.
I don't know about that.
I'm pretty sure it is.
So I guess let's go.
I'm surprised that she will even talk about this movie because
I get to trash on SoulCycle, right?
Right.
As soon as this movie opens, we'll get into it. But I see these bikes and I go, oh my God, are the bikes? And is this movie about these bikes? And then I look at the logo and I'm like, oh, nope.
So before we dig in too much, let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
Hi, this is Crystal O'Keefe.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. So just quick shameless plugs. Don't forget, we're available on iTunes. Go there, rate, review, subscribe, and check out our Facebook page, facebook.com/realspoilers. And we have a Patreon page if you want to chip in, get some extra content.
Some bonus audio content.
What you've been receiving will still remain free, but if you want to get some extra content, you can do that at patreon.com/realspoilers. So there are all of our shameless plugs. I guess we will dig into the movie proper.
Yeah, so I think Trainwreck, just talking about Amy Schumer to get it off, is a fantastic movie.
Absolutely.
Like, that is a perfect romantic comedy. That was her kind of like first shot out the gate. And it was just like, okay, we're going to roll right into this Judd Apatow rated R.
But for the ladies.
Correct. Well, like Bridesmaids was out there first, I
okay,
guess.
That's
was
true.
Was that Adam McKay?
No,
did Bridesmaids?
Paul Feig.
Is it Paul
Feig? He directed,
Feig?
Yeah.
Okay, and The Heat was out there as well.
But I guess this one, the Trainwreck felt more like traditional Apatow, but from a female POV.
I would agree.
POV, not PIV, just to be clear.
just to be safe.
What is PIV?
Oh, Kevin, I feel sorry for... No wonder you and Katie don't have children yet.
There it is.
Oh, okay.
You can see the light bulb.
I've never heard of that acronym being used.
It took a while for it to turn on. That light bulb almost went out, but it went on.
It also makes me think you've been needlessly playing. Now I'm like, I think you've been needlessly paying child support all these years.
But okay, what's the use for that acronym?
Like, so you can say it anywhere.
Penis in vagina?
PIV.
No, what is the use of that acronym? I've never had to go around like, oh, PIV. Like,
I'm a busy guy. I don't have time to say penis in vagina all the time.
Sometimes I got to say PIV. Is that like a porn category? I don't understand.
To do.
I've never heard anyone use that.
My time
it was
is
used in a was it in
P and the V.
It was used.
Well, that's different.
It was
that's
used in Knocked Up.
It was.
They're in the bar. Yep. And say, Jason Segel's going PNV, PIV. Yeah. Like, he's got all these initials.
Yes.
Like, oh, okay.
That's funny. Yeah, and then he's like, yeah.
I don't remember, but I was just thinking last week, and I was like, oh, I want to see that. I haven't seen Knocked Up in a long time.
It's a great movie.
It was a funny movie.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that and 40-Year-Old Virgin I want to revisit just because those were so...
He swinging for the fences with the first three.
Yeah.
Because they did Superbad, too.
Cool.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, like, Trainwreck, I thought, was a great movie. What was the one after that? The Goldie Hawn one.
Snatched.
Not great.
Very not good.
Very not good. So, and then she put out that not good stand-up special, that Netflix special that was not very good.
The one that changed the Netflix rating system?
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
The controversy around it changed the entire way their ratings were.
Because she said bad things about guns, and so all the gun people jumped on board and were like downvoting it without having seen it.
Also, very bad special.
Also, it's not that good of a special, but it's not as bad. I don't think it was as bad as the votes were indicating because she had been targeted because she's, you know, not a fan of guns. Also, don't forget, people were gunned down at a midnight screening of Trainwreck. So
is that
they
right?
were?
Yeah. Yikes. Don't you remember that? Oh. No,
I remember that Dark Knight Rises was
it happened to Trainwreck too. There was a shooting and somebody got killed.
Oh.
And so it's also a very personal issue. Not that it needs to be personal for you to have an opinion on it, but she didn't just wake up one day and go, oh, I'm gonna bitch about guns.
Right.
I mean she that was her big movie and she was so excited and
good. Like, she wasn't the problem. It was the people were downvoting her because they were contrary to her beliefs. Like, she didn't make a bad gun joke, and people were
that's offensive. In the special, she talks about, like, her opinion of guns and gun control. Being in favor of gun control. And so then that drew out the people that are against gun control to vote her special down. And then Netflix was like, we're just not going to go down this road.
Right.
Clearly this is going to become a pattern the longer we're around. And so they flipped the system.
The problem I had, and the thing I don't like about any comedian, is when they become, they catapult into this stardom, you know, overnight kind of, and they get a huge thing like Trainwreck.
Okay, look, let me stop you right there. There is no such thing as a stand-up comedian is an overnight success. It's never a thing.
No, I'm saying, but they, when you go to the next level, I mean, when you hit it big.
Yeah.
I'm not saying stand-up.
No. What I'm saying is like,
but I think
the
what he
stand-up
means is,
process
it
is,
takes years. But I think what he's saying is when you have that shift of like your
nightly stand-up,
you're a club comic to now you're playing arenas.
I gotcha.
And that for her happened almost overnight. It was a long road to get there.
Yeah.
But when she finally took off like a rocket.
Yes.
And then once you do, the problem is that you become playing a caricature or a character of yourself. So like now when she does shows, she has to be that raunchy Amy Schumer because that's what made her successful. And so that special felt very forced. So like the Apatow stuff, super bad. All those movies, like the raunchy stuff where the people, Kevin Smith movies, it works because that's his shtick, right? Then when you get the knockoffs, like, oh, these movies are funny because they're raunchy. Let's try to be so over the top and vulgar, but they're a cheap imitation.
Bad grandma.
And I feel like she had to be, you know, that raunchy Amy Schumer, and that special came off to me as forced, and I didn't think it was funny.
I think it's like how they talk about bands, that you got your entire life to write your first album, you got 6 months to write your second.
Yeah.
And I think comedians, the good ones, the great ones, draw so much from their personal life that when all of a sudden your personal life goes to being, you know, getting into the coolest clubs and Jennifer Lawrence
to being
is my
not
best
so
friend.
Yeah, right. Like, yeah, and she has surrounded herself with some top female talent in the industry right now.
So how do you know? So it's difficult. Where does your material come from? That's why some of these people to have writing partners that
you become less relatable
that
to.
Aren't big and famous.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Right.
Oh, so I was at the spa the other day.
It's not even that. Funny People is a prime example of that idea where he finds Seth Rogen and Jonah Hill like in a club and just like, hey, you guys write for me now. He's like, okay. You know, there are comedians who are insanely funny that you will never hear of because they're just writing for Adam Sandler or they're writing for.
Well, look, there's a special on Netflix. It was one of my favorite stand-up specials of the last 5 years. Called Three Mics.
Oh yeah. With
Neil Brennan.
So good.
So good.
But he's a writer, right?
And he's Dave Chappelle's writing partner. And you wouldn't think that this 50-year-old scrawny
white dude
yeah. is like, you know, one half of all the genius stuff that you've seen Dave Chappelle do.
Right.
And so, and his stand-up is nothing like what you would see on the Chappelle Show, but he's great. And but they're a perfect example of a guy who is working at the upper echelon of comedy.
Yeah.
But you don't, you've never heard his name.
Matt McCarthy is a guy who you may not. I mean, so he always plays Jim Gordon in those College Humor Batman shorts. I think he's a writer for Conan. He wrote for the WWE at one point, and he has a podcast. But like, he's writing for all for Conan. So it's just like he doesn't have to do stand up anymore. He does stand up still,
right.
but he doesn't have to do it because he's writing, you know. And, you know, when you write for Conan, you're kind of like, yeah, man, you're good.
Yeah, you're earning a living.
You're doing all right.
So Trainwreck.
Trainwreck. And then they Snatch, not as good. And then there's this one that's like an interesting combination of both. Like it's not she gives you a little bit of the raunch, but I think at its heart, it's. It's not raunchy.
This is a deep movie. I
agree.
I picked up a lot that I did not expect.
Like, we all kept talking about how it was
shallow,
but it's not. It's big. It's big without the transformation.
Yeah,
they tell you as much in the first 10 minutes of this
movie.
They
show you a clip from Big.
Yeah, and it's like, and when you go through the beats, you're like, oh, it is big, right? Like, she gets the job at the dream place that she always wanted to work. She alienates her best friend.
Yeah.
It all comes crashing down. But I feel like in Big, it doesn't come crashing down. Like, he makes it all the way through.
God, I haven't seen Big since
right?
I was
because
in my
he makes
20s.
It all the way. He has the date with the girl, and, like, they become a thing. But then, like, the time is running out at the end, and, like, doesn't she? She drops him off at home, and, like, his clothes fall off as he's walking to the door. Like, he goes back to being a kid.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
So, like, the ending is a little bit different.
Well, because there was the time constraint of Big.
Right. Like,
this,
he had, like, a month
know
or something.
When it'll. Stop.
Right. So, like, it was just an interesting update of Big.
Well, and I think a lot of the difference between this and kind of what you think of as an Amy Schumer vehicle is that this is PG-13.
Yeah.
It's true.
And
I didn't even
true.
Look at the ratings.
And so she, you know, she had to lessen the raunch. And I think that's, I liked the movie, but I didn't think it was as funny as I thought it was going to be.
It wasn't for me.
Yeah.
Which is... what I expected, but it wasn't bad.
Yeah, and I think that part of the reason it wasn't as funny is because her sweet spot is being off color, and they had to rein that in. Like, I'd be interested to see if there's an unrated version of this that will come out.
Oh, maybe. That ramps up the raunch.
Yeah.
But
on the flip side...
I think then you missed the message.
No, that's where I was going, but I'm glad they didn't, because I think that this opens it up for a lot of teenage girls who maybe the message will resonate with them.
Yeah, I felt like, I mean, again, this movie's not for me either, Joe. I felt the same way, but I didn't hate it. I wouldn't go out of my way to watch it. I won't watch it again. But, you know, because it doesn't connect with me the way that I think it would with a woman. And I think you'll, you know, be able to talk on that point, Crystal. But I liked it because it wasn't as raunchy. Like, I went the other direction. I'm like, good. She's not just doing a force. Like, I have to be raunchy or whatever, you know. And I liked that all the message and the deeper stuff. I was like, wow, this movie, I feel like this is a lot more complicated and complex than people expect.
There's
it
a lot of layers to this
movie.
Yeah. Right.
But because I'm like, these are real mental health issues. Like, these are serious issues that people deal with. And I also got to points that we'll get to where I started to feel a little bit uncomfortable, because kind of like with Pain and Gain.
Oh, I felt a lot uncomfortable.
You know, like
in
pain,
some of those
you know,
scenes.
Like Pain and Gain, I always say I didn't like because it's based on real life and a real guy died. So I can't find that funny, even though it is a funny movie. But
the issue with Pain and Gain is the first like hour, 10 minutes is funny. And then somebody dies and the movie doesn't stop trying to be
funny. And it's like, and this is a real person.
They should have let it be funny, and then when stuff gets real, be like shift the tone.
Right? Exactly.
See, it's not so funny anymore, but it never changed. So
like in this movie, I got uncomfortable because you know that people are really like this. You know, I mean, this is a commentary. This is Amy Schumer and her commentary based on real life, based on society, and models do look down on people, and people are making fun of her or putting her down because of her looks. And so a lot of it was very uncomfortable because it's like, yeah, there's funny jokes and she's awkward or whatever. And she plays it up, but it's like, God, it's hard.
She's completely clueless because the way, and I don't mean that in a derogatory way, but the way they
You mean it's, in the flattering, clueless way?
Correct.
Yeah.
Because the way this movie is very smart in the way that they phrase interactions. Like when she hears them, like
right.
It's very clever. I did like all that.
It's insanely clever to do the double speak of like where the guy's saying, he's like, "Hey, what's your number?" And she was like, "Oh, really?"
Cat calling. They're in a deli counter. And,
Right. Well, it's not cat calling. Like he was like, "Hey, Mikey." And he whistles.
I know exactly.
Like, yeah.
That's why it's clever.
Yeah.
I also like
the fact that like most women are like, "Ugh." But it's new. It's a new experience.
Correct.
For her. She hasn't had it her entire life, so she's like,
"Hey, oh you,
hey, wow, I got whistled at."
Where
most women would be like, "Ugh, that's enough."
Gross.
Let's actually start with the movie.
So she's going to a spin class.
Yes.
I know nothing about spin.
Soul Cycle.
Is it awful?
I mean, I love Pelotons.
There it is.
And
right
they
on.
Are the they are the competitor.
They're the
competitor.
WCW to your WWF.
Exactly.
I got
exactly.
You.
Just a little background. So Crystal and I, but mostly Crystal, has a podcast.
All About Peloton.
All About Peloton, which is an indoor, you can't say spin bike, but spin bike.
Yeah.
And for the people that don't know anything, it's a spin bike.
Right.
Yeah,
on.
But Peloton you do at home.
Right.
And then there's a class in New York City, probably right up the street from the Soul Cycle where they filmed that.
Sure.
And so they have a studio where they film it and people can come in and do classes.
And the instructors are just like that. I mean, high energy on a microphone.
But they're
talking.
On the bike, Kevin.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
They're not
walking
like,
around,
like a teacher making sure you're not cheating on your test.
Right. But it's like the high energy of those classes. That's a real
a
real thing if you don't know, because I actually tried it out one time. And
yes, you did.
It's intense. I mean, I was just dripping buckets of sweat. This bike is crazy. If you want to get in shape, I'm telling you, Crystal does it, what, twice a day or something?
Sundays I do two rides. The rest of the week it's just one.
Yeah. But still, I mean, like,
typically while we're recording Real Spoiler, she's in the other room
yelling at us to be quiet.
Yeah. there's no question as to how she stays in shape though, because like these bikes are awesome for that.
Yes,
Peloton. The other one is trash, but now I don't know.
Well, you know, it did bug me just to say spin class, because they had no resistance on their bike. Like their legs were just a fly in, and you're supposed to have resistance.
Well,
and
sure,
you
for filming, because you know they probably filmed that for 5 hours
right,
straight.
So
right?
They couldn't have the resistance, but it was like to watch it was painful, because I'm like,
they were going
you shouldn't be doing that. Like that's terrible form. You're gonna hurt yourself. And then when they stand up, I'm like, oh my god, you're gonna fly off of that thing.
Oh, like when they stand up on the bike?
Yeah,
that's for like 30 seconds and then cool down. Like they're just like going and going.
Well,
SoulCycle has like a dance element to it, which if you're a Peloton fan, you think is absolutely ridiculous,
because it's not safe. Like your core is not, you're not engaged in the same way, and so you're using body parts, you're flying all over the place instead of keeping everything very compact.
I love being a fly on the wall for this for this exercise bike.
That's a new, it's new territory. I've never heard any of this.
I love it.
I didn't know what you guys were talking about with those other six movies, so right back at you.
Right. So she goes in, and it's the gal at the desk, I think, was on SNL. She was one of those lesser characters. Was she a lesser character? Was she always?
What is her name? It's
She's definitely SNL, because I think Katie Bryant's in this. There's definitely some SNL.
Yeah. So she goes in, and she's, you know, this is a scene that I thought was funny where she's like, "Can I, you know, looking for shoes?"
Yes.
And she's like, "Can I get a six?" And she was like, "7." All right, 8. And she like the number keeps getting higher. Then she's like, "Do you have them in a wide?" And she was like, "A double." She's like, "What? You mean like those trailers that you live in?"
It was Sashir Zameda.
Yes.
And she was very funny on it. She was one of those characters that would pop up.
She was a featured character.
Yeah. Thank you. That's
And she's also got a moth episode where where she talks about just dealing with somebody like who passes her who had a redneck with a Confederate flag. Mm. That's like funny, but also
poignant.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So she, you know, she gets on the bike. She actually meets Emily Ratajkowski, who was in Gone Girl. She was the girl that Ben Affleck was having an affair with in Gone Girl.
Oh,
I was wondering who that was.
Yeah.
She was quite lovely.
She was also in the, that stupid.
I think you've completely missed the point of the movie.
Yeah. So she was in that.
You've
learned
nothing.
That, thick.
Well, I'm like, who, is she a star? Like, she looks.
I don't think she's a star. I think I wouldn't go that
she's
far.
She's been in a movie.
She's been in a movie.
I feel like she has
she was
to
in
be
a,
somebody.
She was in a music. She was in that, who's the son of Alan Thicke?
Robin Thicke.
Yeah.
Oh, he like Blurred
she,
Lines.
She was
We Are Your Friends.
She was the Blurred Lines girl.
She was in We Are Your Friends.
Oh, my God. That movie is so bad.
Okay. What an awful movie that is.
I wanted to like the movie because it was directed by Max from Catfish.
Love
Tried
Max.
To.
And Max is great. But that movie's a piece of crap.
He dropped the ball on that one.
Yeah. Ooh, he didn't drop the beat. He dropped the ball.
He dropped the ball. This is all and club his paycheck, because it was... No, I got it.
Well, I don't know if anybody else remembers the movie. I was trying to explain the joke.
We did have two really bad Zac Efron movies that were just atrocious.
We did? What was the other one? Baywatch?
Dirty Grandpa.
Oh,
that's right. I forgot it was
that's the worst of all time.
That's awful.
Talk about forced humor again, because they think those type of movies work. Dirty Grandpa is the exact thing I'm talking about, where it's like, that's not
I'm
funny.
More laughing at, like, Leanne and I saw that together in a theater, and I remember the row of older people in front of us.
Oh, the Robert De Niro crowd?
Well, yeah, the Robert De Niro crowd. And when he walks into him jerking off on the couch, on the chair, you could hear the audible, like, oh.
Yeah.
I was like, that's the reaction you should have. It's gross.
It's not going to get better.
No, it's only going to get worse from here. Don't worry. They're going to steal and all kind. That doesn't matter.
So she's at a soul
cycle class. And she tries to get herself situated, and she jumps up on the bike. And, of course, they do an it's an interesting shot, right? So, like, most of the people in the class are small and fit and actually wearing muted colors, right? They're all wearing, like, blacks and dark blues and dark grays. And then she comes in, and they're all, I feel like they all had, like, darker hair. So she comes in with, like, the darker blonde hair, the bright pink top, and, like, multicolored leggings. So she stands out.
They were actually solid blue.
Were they?
They
weren't like a lightning bolt or something?
No.
Okay.
They're blue.
So, but she
just
stands
how
out.
She made you feel.
That's true. I'm not going to lie. I think Amy Schumer's hot. I'm going to say it.
She's pretty.
Yeah, she's very pretty. But she stands out immediately in this class. A, she's got a different body type. B, she looks completely different. So you're automatic. Like, you're supposed to be drawn to her to begin with. But I think that the way that they shot that, I thought was really interesting, that they made her stand out even more. So she falls. She's getting ready to go. The seat drops and she racks herself, basically.
Sounds painful.
I know what situation I have going on down there, so I know, like, it would hurt a lot.
Well, honey, you can cancel that vasectomy.
Yeah.
Not
I took
necessary.
Care of it myself.
Yeah, the seat completely fell. And so you have to tighten everything up before you get on the bike. And that was kind of immediately when you walk into one of those classes, there's usually somebody there that goes, have you ever set up your bike before? Is this your first time here? And they'll help you go through it. So that was like spin class mistake number one, because
nobody
helped her.
That school,
it's soul.
Though.
I mean,
it's
I
soul
went, cycle.
You
soul
know, cycle. We don't know.
What I find so fascinating about this is I can't imagine that SoulCycle didn't pay to be in this movie.
They had to.
Because they're in it so much. There's like three or four major scenes.
Oh, God. Do you think Target's a sponsor of this movie?
Probably.
Probably, because they do mention Target like 17 times.
But I think that makes sense. I mean, I agree that Target is a
every
sponsor.
Every other line.
But,
at Target.
Target is also like, they have a giant makeup section.
No, that's fine, which is perfect for an advertisement in a movie. It's just funny because
I can't imagine SoulCycle would be. SoulCycle comes off really looking like assholes.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, because they are so focused on all the wrong things.
Yeah. Here's a bandana.
Here's a bandana.
Oh, like, you're okay. We'll
take that back.
I kind of think of it like, is it Evil Genius?
Peloton
pay for SoulCycle to be in this movie? Because, like, remember back when Jersey Shore was really popular and...
Remind us of
these
times.
I do. And Snooki...
Oh, yes, you've told me this
Snooki
story.
Snooki was taken... I might have this flipped, but Snooki, like, was always seen with, like, Versace purses and, like... And she got a bunch of Gucci purses in the mail from Versace.
Right.
Because they were
you wear these.
You're cheapening our brand.
Knock it
Please
off.
Stop wearing them.
She was in a match at WrestleMania. Not this past one, but like... That's how
she knows how to take a hit. Did you ever see the episode where she got punched in the face?
I did.
Oh my God. I mean, she got
rocked.
I mean, she's in a bar and some guy just turns around and like totally
like
sucker punches her in the face.
That's why she has such a great image of herself.
Yeah,
sure.
That's how it happened.
Yeah. So she falls off the bike and racks herself and she limps out of, and this was kind of the, like, so this opening scene, I was like, okay, this is the Amy Schumer stuff that I am accustomed to.
Right.
She kind of limps her way out of with, you know, her pants have been torn up the back.
Which I don't even know how that happens.
I can't explain it.
Those are not good leggings.
Yeah.
Those were not brand leggings.
But I feel
she probably got them from Target.
They probably did. That's what I'm saying.
So not magic pants.
No.
So she limps her way out and, She ends up meeting up with her friends who are
A.D. Bryan
and Busy Phillips, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Also an Apatow chick. Is this an Apatow movie? He didn't produce this,
did he? I don't believe that he's affiliated with this. Okay. But she started on Freaks and Geeks.
Yeah. So they're talking about doing...
Busy Phillips looks different every time I see her.
I feel like she's lost a bunch of weight.
She puts it on, she loses it. She did look very tan.
Yeah.
And I remember she was on an episode of the Terminator television show when she was
starring Game of Thrones' own Lena Headey.
Okay.
She was Sarah Connor.
Yeah. And she was pregnant. And she appeared to be about 12 months pregnant.
Aww.
She was huge. Yeah. I mean, she was like...
Just look how different she looks in the IMDb picture with long blonde hair. Yeah. It's like, yeah, I didn't even recognize
her. She looked very...
Yeah. I mean, she was like legitimately pregnant in real life. And like, they like... I couldn't believe they let her on the set. She looked like she was about to drop.
We shouldn't have you here because our insurance won't cover a baby. So they're doing like this... I think it's like a speed, like a triple.
It's
speed dating.
Yeah, it's grouper. So
is that
it's
a
like,
real thing?
Yeah, it's a real thing. You go on a date, but like you have three people set up a profile together.
Okay.
And then so it's like three women, three men, and then you match up. Yeah. And
so it's not as awkward. It's like one
on
one.
You've got a group of people.
It's interesting.
I just thought it sounds more awkward.
I feel like
people that don't want to go meet a stranger though. I mean,
yeah,
I'd feel. I feel like I'd be in that, and like I'd be like everybody be fighting over the other two.
So we're like,
well, that's just how it
goes. Much longer do I have?
Although, if you really luck out,
that's true. You did luck out.
You guys took a long time to get there. I thought that's where we were starting.
That's not. I can't make that joke. Yeah. So they're talking about how Amy Schumer's just kind of like they never check the profile and they always look at the picture and so they're
this is deep. I mean, they're really talking about.
Yeah.
Issues with online dating and self-image and judging a book by its cover. And I mean, this is all very...
Well, I mean, look at Tinder. It's swipe.
You literally
swipe,
just look at the picture.
Swipe. And I'm assuming there's a profile.
That's the way they're training people to date, though, which is
it
crazy.
There is a profile, but you don't, like, you just see the picture. And
the Tinder came around after we were together. So why are you schooling everybody?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, your son gave me a lot of education.
So
let's not get into that.
So that's where I thought that was going, but I was going to let it go.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, you know, it's just like swipe.
Right.
And that's the extent.
But that's human nature. Like, it doesn't matter how awesome the profile is if you're not physically attracted to them.
But I got to say, as somebody who dated when I was a lot heavier, I kind of thought it was ridiculous that they were like, oh, Amy Schumer's not getting any action on any of these websites.
I would also agree. I would also agree that it would like...
Because she's very pretty.
She's not
skinny and model-like.
No.
And so in New York City, I guess there are a lot of people. So it's a little bit different. But and I
she's
still think...
also working in a model world. Like
she,
she's not
she
just
is,
in
but,
New York City.
But it's
but,
not
yeah.
like it's not like the people on the websites know that. It's
right.
not like they know... they're not all looking at the same things. And there's still tons of people that like different things. So I'm not buying that.
Also Busy Phillips.
Yeah, like no one's looking at her profile.
I find that hard to believe that Busy Phillips is having a hard time finding
But they have her very played down in this movie.
She
they do,
still
but
is...
I think as a woman, it kind of bothered me that they like completely
Here's the
overlooked...
idea of like women that aren't attractive, and it's like these are...
Well, not only that, but they overlook the fact that like A.D. Bryant is the large one. Like,
yeah.
I'm not trying to be mean to
no,
A.D. Bryant,
is.
But
nope.
like
but she
Amy
is the...
Schumer's the one with all the issues.
Statistically speaking, she's the one that would be struggling the most.
Yeah, and
yeah.
they completely gloss
top.
Over that.
See, I love A.D. Bryant's personality.
I do
though.
Too.
That's the thing where it's like, and I think she's very pretty, right?
She
so
is
she's
pretty.
Large, but she's very pretty, and her personality, she is. Every time you see her, like in an SNL skit where she isn't trying to be counter to this, but like she has such a friendly, like positive, upbeat
Open.
Personality, and that's very attractive. Like, just you always see her smiling, you always see, you know, and that I think people would also see that she is pretty for one, and
yeah.
and like you said, people like different things, and if you met her and she acted like that, it'd be like, how would you not be attracted to that?
I don't disagree with that. Yeah. I just think that if you have her and Amy Schumer
right.
in a profile together, I think it's kind of ridiculous that Amy Schumer's
yeah.
they're not even talking about the fact
right.
that
Agreed.
Amy Bryant
Agreed.
Would have that.
But then yeah. you know they'd get in trouble for probably people saying you know that.
I know people are already complaining about the movie because they're saying that like well Amy Schumer is pretty and that she's not fat enough
right
for this to but the thing
in the model society though
right.
they have
yeah.
to look at it in context she is
yeah I mean I get in context it's very different but even outside of context it's like I still think that men on these dating sites are looking for something very specific.
Yeah.
And so it probably is difficult for, I think there's a lot of women that fall into that realm of, it's not that they're not attractive, but they're not Maxim magazine attractive.
Sure.
And that's, but the, at the same time, it's like, dude, you're not GQ attractive.
You also need to have
realistic expectations. Yeah.
Trust me,
right?
Brother, you're playing single A ball.
Right. And yeah. So it's like, you know, but I think with apps like Tinder, it's just an almost infinite amount of choices that you can always be like, well, I'll swipe a few more
and
I'll find one. Maybe I'll get lucky. I'll cast the net wide and just keep, you know,
right.
And I, you know, all I can think about when I think about how men probably use Tinder is there's a Jerry Seinfeld joke from years ago where he's talking about how men watch TV.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, if you watch a man with a remote control, it's like click, click, click. He's like, men don't care what's on TV. They care what else is on TV.
That's true.
And
that's
I think
true.
That's how they treat Tinder.
I think that's very true.
Well, and the other thing is, too, if you want to go deeper into what this movie's saying, I mean, it is a commentary on society. The reason why people swipe and go through people and have these unrealistic expectations is look at all these models that are in media. They're showing you what a modeling agency or makeup company and all the people that they are trying to cast for target that are appealing to the average woman,
right?
They're showing them a model, and it's like, that is why, because people think it's, that is the standard.
Well, you know, it's designed to be aspirational,
right?
And, right,
but the
aspirational,
right? But the right. problem becomes that when every advertising avenue follows that,
mm-hmm.
it no longer becomes aspirational, it becomes expectational.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Right? Like, why don't you look like this? Not, you could look like this.
Right.
And now you see a lot of stores like Target and other ones.
Dove
putting,
is a big
yeah.
one. Like Dove.
Yeah, Dove's oh, been doing that
yeah.
for a long
yeah.
time.
Yeah, you know. Use real
putting
like,
the real,
real
women.
Women.
Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. And now they're putting them on billboards, mm-hmm. side of buildings. They're really doing that, which is cool because that is who, I mean, I'm
so
not.
So do they put them on the side of the building because they're so big?
Is that yeah.
That's why they have to put them on billboards
yeah.
and not
magazines.
They're in magazines too. Calm down.
Yeah. Yeah. The models are in the pamphlets. Sideways.
Yeah, and you have to fold open the pamphlet.
Right,
for
yeah.
That's a different kind of magazine. Kevin.
Yeah. That's...
Oh, the ones I hold like vertically?
Right. Just trying to see what her, you know, turn-ons and turn-offs were. What she enjoys.
For
the
articles.
For
the
articles.
For the articles,
yeah. Yeah, so she goes to work and we're introduced to that she works in like the marketing department of an Estee Lauder style company in the basement of like this Chinese takeout joint with her partner, who was great.
Yeah.
Adrian Martinez.
Like,
yes.
My
actor.
Favorite character
he
in the
was,
movie.
He's like, why don't we talk? He's like, no.
I had sex last night. I was alone.
Yeah, she's like,
yeah.
We're good. Right, no more banter.
He was funny. He was very awkward. He's just like this big Samoan looking dude.
Yeah.
You know, he's just
he's
like,
been in stuff.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. He's been in Focus. He's been in The Secret Life of Walter Mitty. Just going through Venice with Bruce Willis. Probably one of
Swinging a Miss.
Yeah. Now Office Christmas Party.
Oh,
another
that's
comedy.
Yeah. That's
so like
I've
he's been in, he's
yeah,
he's
okay.
a character actor and.
Yeah.
He was good, but I think they're in charge of the website
yeah.
for the company.
Yeah,
but
they
put them in this basement of this
yeah,
place.
She's like,
yeah.
I don't want to work in the basement
yeah.
anymore. So she goes. I think they go out, her and A.D. Bryant and Busy Phillips, and they have like a night out. And she's struggling. Like she's struggling with her own. You know, there's a pretty poignant scene where she comes home and she takes off her top and she's got, you know, her bras there. But then she takes off her bottoms and she's wearing Spanx
mm-hmm.
and she's looking at herself. And to Amy Schumer's credit, like she acts the hell out of that scene.
And it's a fearless
also,
performance.
Yes,
and
also
absolutely
yeah.
fearless.
The balls, so to speak, that she has for doing this. And
the ovaries.
Yes, for putting herself
the
on
mammary
the
glands.
Big screen, for showing it, basically almost
right.
bearing all.
Yeah.
I mean,
I think
she
does bear it all. We just don't see it.
Well,
that's
what
true.
That's what that means.
Not bearing
yes.
it all.
No, I'm bearing it all except for
no,
my clothes.
He's
but she is
saying,
legitimately
saying,
naked.
Yeah.
She is, but
like,
if you don't see it, you're not
way.
Bearing
yeah.
it all.
Yeah.
You know, but like she, I mean, you see a lot of her, at least in her bra and panties, you know, and it's like she, that is a
Can
fearless.
Can you not say that word ever again?
Well, whatever.
I did not like that
yeah.
one at
Yeah,
all.
I have the same reaction to that word. I'm like, oh.
Just what? Call him a what ruse or something. I don't know.
I don't know.
What
Panties?
What is
that?
Nope.
Isn't that women's
like that
underwear?
I'm not going to lie. It's better when you say it.
Isn't that what women's underwear is called?
Totally.
Okay. Absolutely. People say bra and panty. That's,
all right, that's twice.
Okay.
Her underwear.
Her ruse.
Her root, yeah, like her under roos.
Yeah, her under roos.
Well, now she's not wearing underoos.
Now she sounds like a 3-year-old boy.
So yeah. I have a 6-year-old girl. So that's what we, that's what
so
we
it gets them. So it gets less creepy
yeah.
when it's about
when it's the thing that I yes
when it's about a 6-year-old.
Okie dokie. So anyway, yeah, I just thought seeing her on screen with not a model body, and I'm not trying to shame her or anything, but that's what this whole movie is about.
Yeah. Right.
And the fact that she, you know, is basically naked on screen on the big 200, 300,
yeah.
whatever,
yeah.
you know, big screen is. It's like, wow, that takes some guts, and
it
she
does.
Owns it.
It does. Yeah.
And
yeah.
She, to me, like, she's built like a woman. Like, that's what, like, when I see the way she's built, like, that's what a woman is built like.
She hasn't, you know, not to go too much into it, but she has an interesting body because she's, like, fit, but she's not small. It's weird.
I would call it a Midwestern body.
Okay.
Oh.
You know, because,
but it's just people her size, you usually think, oh, she's
yeah.
going to have a belly on her, and then you see her when she pulls her shirt up and she's like
she
tight, but
yeah.
it's a very odd
body. It's a Hollywood-ish body.
But that's what it comes back to, is that she's a regular
person.
She's
built
person.
Like a,
yes,
like a normal
exactly
woman. Built like
she
a normal person.
Looks healthy.
Yes.
Because when you think of, okay, we're going to see, like, think of Chris Farley as a male equivalent, right? As a comedian that's taking his shirt off, dancing with Patrick
yeah,
Swayze.
Yeah, but he's way bigger.
That's,
like
I think that's
that.
Kevin's...
No, no, no. My point is that usually when you're making fun of someone and it's like, oh, look at me, the big person or whatever, Chris Farley's got the rolls and he's jiggling all over the
yeah.
place.
Okay.
Amy Schumer is, she's a little bigger than the Hollywood actress you're used to, but she's still in shape. It's
but,
just a...
But I think that you're kind of proving the point the movie's trying to make is that
when it's a guy,
you have to get to the Chris Farley level to be seen as overweight.
Mm-hmm. But I didn't. My point though is I didn't see her as that overweight because she's in good shape. I'm looking at her. I'm like, they're trying to make this point, and everyone's making fun of her or looking down on her. But she's not that big, and I think we've all been making that point to where it's not as believable to me because I'm, and we all just said
well,
she's pretty.
I think it's believable because. As a society, we are inundated with women built like Emily Ratajkowski
mm-hmm.
or women built like Michelle Williams.
But I am too, and I didn't feel that way. That's
oh,
what I'm saying. It's,
but I mean, from a,
you know,
I mean, this is a dude speaking from a woman's
yeah.
perspective.
Yeah, from a woman's perspective, it's like,
do you get what I'm saying?
I get what you're saying, but I also get what they're saying. It's
yeah.
like it's both of those things are true.
Yeah.
That's the whole problem with society is both of those things are
yeah.
true. She is a regular woman. There's nothing wrong with her,
yeah.
and yet society makes her feel like.
Right.
Because that's what
wow,
society
yeah.
does.
Yes.
So all of that
yeah.
is true.
And there's a lot more normal men for men to have as role models.
Yeah.
Right. There are
we've
normal.
Got, we've got Seth Rogen and Jason Segel and
right.
Paul Rudd.
Well, just look
and
at all the like, look
Chris
at those
Pratt.
Guys.
Oh, no, sorry.
Not anymore. Yeah. Thanks,
yeah.
Marvel. Yeah. Took one away from us.
Yeah.
Those abs and Guardians
yeah.
of the Galaxy.
Chris Pratt in seasons 1 and 2 of Parks and Rec.
Yeah, I was like, I had no idea that was going on underneath that sweater.
Neither did
because
it wasn't.
Yeah.
But back to the movie. But that's just it. Those guys like
moment?
Seth Rogen and stuff like that, like look at their girlfriends.
Sure, or
and,
wives. And yeah, for
yeah,
sure.
Yes, exactly. And then you flip it and you see somebody like Leslie Jones. Leslie Jones.
Oh.
And she's like complaining because she can't get a man.
Right.
You know, and it's
on Twitter all the time. We're not projecting
old, yeah,
this. She's
no,
always
yeah,
talking
right.
about how much difficulty she has. Fine. She's like, I have all this success, but I can't seem to.
And
find
I don't know who Amy Schumer dates, so I don't know.
She's married.
She's married. She
oh,
married
sorry.
Like a famous chef.
Okay.
Just recently.
Not some hot guy, right?
No,
like
no.
not some model. See,
no.
So like there's your difference
she's,
right there.
She's just setting herself up for material right there. She's married to a
yeah.
chef.
No,
like,
I'm almost positive like the dude is like a legit.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying like.
She also dated a wrestler. That's Dolph Ziggler. If you look him up. But I mean, if you look him up online, like he's a WWF. Superstar.
He's a hot guy.
And he's built like
oh,
a superstar.
Oh, yeah, he's an 8-pack, you know.
Yeah.
Kinda,
yeah. And it's just like that was her boyfriend at one point. So it's like she can. I think it's funny. Like, I think she said in an interview, like, people give me crap about my size. She's like, but I could walk out on the street right now and get any man that I wanted.
Yeah.
But she's also Amy Schumer.
I think what she actually
but
said is, I can catch it. anytime.
Okay, I was trying to, I was going to censor it, but yes, that's she's like, it's not a, like you want to downplay how I look, but like I can score more often than you ever would.
Which is also the problem with this movie. You have a person saying that and doing that, and then look how she portrays herself. But
she's not trying to catch the D.
She's not. She's just trying to be happy.
She wants to be in a relationship, and that's different. So, I mean, we've talked about your time on, because we met online.
Yes, we did.
And we've talked about some of your...
Yeah. Let me tell you, ladies can get a guy. It's not, I don't care what you look like. You can find a date and very quickly.
Easily.
I don't care what you look like.
Now, you might have to lower your standards.
Absolutely.
And it might be for about 45 seconds.
But you can.
But you can.
Right.
And I think that's what Amy Schumer was trying to say.
Yes. She goes home and she's snuggled up with a bottle of wine and watching Big.
Well, she also goes, first she goes and delivers the reports, right? To the,
does she do that? Oh,
that's how she sees
everyone.
So she goes to Lily LeClaire, which is this makeup company, and she has to deliver the internet reports because the server's down. Exposition.
Hilarious. Like Michelle Williams.
Oh, best performance.
The voice, the whole thing.
Michelle Williams just gave the performance of her lifetime in All the Money in the World. I don't think any of you guys saw that movie.
I have not seen it.
It's so freaking good, and it is her movie. She's the star. She's amazing. I mean, Mark Wahlberg's second fiddle. She's an incredible actress, we know, but she just gave that performance and then turns around on this one with this high-pitched voice. It's great.
She's doing a hilarious.
She's wonderful.
Yes.
But so she sees Lily LeClaire, all the models, and she talks to a receptionist, and she says, I'm just filling in. And so she goes, oh, I could get this job.
Right.
And that's where she's introduced to this idea of aspiring to get out of the basement.
I got to tell you guys something you probably didn't pick up on, but as a woman, it was a huge deal. She's wearing the Bed Bath & Beyond bag as a purse. Like, and to walk into a place like that, that is a huge deal. Like,
supposed to have a fashion purse?
Oh, yeah.
I do like that she's like, I'm wearing bikini bottoms as underwear because I didn't have any clean underwear.
Right.
And I was like,
yeah,
I get it.
That's relatable.
Yeah.
That's funny.
But the purse thing really cracked me up because like what she was wearing wasn't that big of a deal. But to have her purse is this shopping bag. That was
interesting.
That was a great
touch.
Have
you ever done that?
Oh, hell no.
Perfect answer.
Fancy.
Yeah. Fancy pants. So she goes in and she realizes the receptionist job is there. And, you know, available. So she's just like, it's what I like. I'm surrounded by these women. And like I thought that she like in the beginning, because they never give you her last name right away. So I thought she was going to be like the fourth sister.
Gotcha.
Like, that worked in the
ugly duckling.
Ugly duckling. Because like she's got you see posters of the brother and of Michelle Williams, like all, you know, all over the place. So I was like, I wonder if she's going to be like the weird one that they've stuck in the basement. And then
I'm glad they didn't do that.
I am also glad, because that would have been really stupid.
Mm-hmm.
So she goes and she's struggling with, do I apply for this job? Do I not apply for this job? She goes home drinking the wine, watching Big, does the scene from Big, basically, where she goes to
a fountain instead of a Zoltar.
Yeah. She flicks the thing in and, you know,
it's not just a fountain. That was some kind of like Greek goddess.
Oh, was it?
That was some. I don't know who it was, but she said her name.
Like, well, they do the same thing in Leap Year, right? Or which is the one where
the change up?
Is that
the one? That's the one with Ryan Reynolds and Jason Bateman where they.
I think that's the same fountain.
It's
in Italy. There's a fountain with the Greek gods or whatever, and you flip a coin and it's supposed to make your wish. And a lot of movies have used that.
Oh.
Maybe it's not Leap Year, but it's one of those where they wish. In one of those rom-com
getaway. The change-up flew under the radar, and it's really funny.
Is that Jason Bateman?
Jason Bateman and Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah.
yep.
It doesn't
Leslie
work.
Mann. Leslie Mann's in that as well. She doesn't think that it doesn't work.
Right.
So she goes.
She doesn't think that it doesn't not.
She
doesn't
looks
work.
In the mirror.
She looks in the mirror and nothing happens. So she
and
goes.
And this is actually another touching scene because she actually acts in this. You know, it's not just played for laughs.
No,
she's why
she's really
work?
She's,
and she's upset.
Like, her character is struggling. Yeah. Like, it's hardcore.
Depression.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's just straight up.
Yeah, for sure. Is it body dysmorphia? Is that a thing?
That's a thing.
But
I don't think
it's on this level.
I don't think it's on this
level.
Yeah,
she's not to that degree.
Because she's not model thin and pretty. So if she thought
that she was obese.
And she was looking, like, if she thought that she was like 600 pounds or something, that would be body dysmorphia.
Okay. So she wakes up, she goes back to the spin class, and she's feeling good. Like, the Soul Cycle gal is like in her face screaming at her, and she, you know,
she's like, yeah, let's do this.
Yeah, right. And she's cruising along. She's cruising along, and then she falls off again, and like her hair gets, she hits her head, her hair gets snatched in the bike.
Poor Soul Cycle, because because now the bike breaks, like her entire pedal comes loose in the middle of a class.
I guess, like, I felt like she had just fallen off.
No, it broke. She was clipped in.
So, you know, that's funny because
she should have clipped out.
I know, right?
I did not think of it that way, but now that you say that, it does look really bad.
Right? That was actually Tom that pointed that out.
Okay.
They look awful.
I just thought of it as her being kind of a big lummox or whatever. Like, that's her character. So, like, oh, I'm so bad at doing these things, you know?
Sure, but once you're in, you know? You can't really do anything wrong. Yeah, that's the bike breaking.
And I'm sure, Kevin, that's what they told SoulCycle. Yeah. Oh, no, it's Amy Schumer. She's a clown. Like, what are you going to do?
So she wakes up. She comes to. There's the gal from SoulCycle standing over her. They're like, are you all right? And she was like, you know, kind of groggy. She stands up and she's like, she's looking at her arms. Now to us,
nothing's changed.
This is an interesting concept. Like, no body double, no effects. It's all in your imagination.
It's in her head.
Because it's her head. Yeah. I thought it was an interesting choice not to cast a lookalike or a model or something.
So
what
I think
is most people,
when you cast Amy Schumer, you have Amy Schumer for the movie. Like, you're not going to cast her for...
You're not going to cast Amy Schumer in
the first 20 minutes.
Right, I get that.
But no, for the mirror. I mean, what you would do is you'd have her look in the mirror at the moment.
I see what you're saying.
But I like the fact that they didn't, like, bring in a different person to play the rest of the movie. Two, I like the fact that we never see...
What she sees.
What her version of ideal beauty is, which I think is...
Emily Ratajkowski.
Perfect.
Yeah. No, that's so...
I like it. Leaves it to your imagination.
They give us... A model of what she thinks is perfection.
Sure.
So you can already guess. You're like, okay, so she's going to look like the gal from Gone Girl. Like, that's in her head. That's what she looks like.
Interesting.
Because she's already encountered that person more than once. We forgot to mention the scene in the drugstore. Yeah. That was amazing.
That was great.
Like, it was so good. She runs into Emily Ratajkowski and they're talking and they're having a conversation, and this guy walks up to Emily Ratajkowski and he's just like, oh, I just started shopping here. Can you can you help me?
Yeah. I'm guessing this is a real guy. Like, this is what guys do.
Oh, that is totally what guys do. I've never had that happen to me. I'm more like Amy Schumer. I'm like, oh my God, did that just really happen?
Right.
Like, are guys that freaking obvious? But they are. I've watched it happen.
Yes.
I've seen that happen.
Hi, I'm really good at dishes. Can you help me with the dish soap? Can I get your number? So you're like,
I just liked how Amy Schumer was like, oh, it's over in aisle 10.
Yeah.
He was like, I wasn't even talking to you.
Yeah, that's great.
He's like, don't
let everybody think
she works there.
She's
hey, get back on register too.
I do like where the guy that works there is like, hey, get back here. She's like, I don't work here.
See, to me, and obviously this is personal preference, it's comedy, it's subjective, but like, this is my type of humor. I really like the downplayed, underdelivered performance. It's funny because it's so realistic and relatable.
That's interesting that you say that.
I love this type of humor where she is. This is more of like a dark comedy Ben Stiller type role. It's when, you know, the guy stuff keeps happening to them, but they're not like, yuck, 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 I'm farting. And, you know, they're not like doing that played up vulgarity. It's funny because it's real. This is real life. And that's what's funny.
So the comedies that I grew up on were the raunch comedies.
Well, yeah, because we were 10. That's what I'm saying.
Well, no. Like,
that
I mean,
we grew up on.
But
yes.
I mean, like, even Porky's or things like that. So
we grew up on those,
sort of.
We're in our 30s now, though. I mean,
no,
I'm saying it's
just... So the raunch, I still find funny. Like, I think when it's done good,
yeah. There's smart raunch, and there's Apatow raunch, and then there's Dirty Grandpa,
and there's American
raunch.
Pie Presents.
Yes,
straight to video.
Yeah.
I mean,
and I think the
Amy
Apatow
Schumer
raunch is
when it's working. Like, she can talk about some filthy things,
yes,
but. She still has smart. But she talks about them, in a unique way.
The smartness changes it. Mm-hmm. But it's like, if you don't have that smartness to it, I would much rather the humor be relatable.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Because we can all, even though this is a movie that definitely is about women and how they're treated differently than men, but like, you can still be like, yeah, that actually happens. You just, it felt real. This movie felt very real. And that's why I think it's so poignant and so like, why sometimes I didn't laugh as much as I probably should have or was expecting, because I'm like, God, people deal with this stuff, and you get in this really weird headspace of, oh my gosh, this movie is not funny sometimes because it's true. This is real life.
Well, then it becomes once she realizes what she thinks has happened, the movie changes a little bit, where she from her perspective, these people are reaching out to her because she's beautiful and she's the supermodel, when in reality they're reaching out to her because she's none of those things, because
she's no longer with,
they're pandering to her. But like the movie is so cleverly written that it, you can play it both ways. Like you see it like from the grandma, or when Michelle Williams are talking to her, they're talking to her as an unattractive non-model person
because she gets it on a different level of what the real person is like versus what these supermodels like.
Exactly.
And because they're launching this new collection and it's all about like the regular woman.
Diffusion line.
Yes. And so Amy Schumer's character gets it as opposed to all these supermodels who don't get it.
Right. But I mean like when...
You're talking about the cat calls and stuff?
Not even that. Yes, the cat calls.
Like she's
or
taking
it.
Two people can say the same thing. This happens in text message, messenger. It's very hard to interpret because you can say the same thing and have completely different meanings.
It's why we have HR departments.
Yeah.
You ain't kidding.
This is the comedic equivalent or the relationship equivalent to the scenes in Austin Powers when a hot dog is held up above his wiener and she takes a bite of it.
Right.
Like
she pulls an umbrella out of his butt.
People are saying things and she's coincidentally catching them that work perfectly with what she's doing. You know, it's that kind of
it's also like totally self-esteem and how like your positivity can change everything, because if you're in a good, healthy, happy place, you hear everybody complimenting you versus you walk into a room and you think everyone hates you and you start interpreting everything they say as negative. And women do that every moment of every day.
I'm glad you said that, because this is the part it was hard for me to put my finger on, but another reason I felt this movie like I was a little more uncomfortable is because she clearly has some kind of a disorder, like mental disorder about body image. Like, because if she was positive,
I don't think that's true though.
I don't think it rises to the level of mental disorder. I think that she certainly is not, this character is not good at gauging her actual attractiveness, but I don't know that it's an actual mental condition. I think it's more just really low self-esteem that she's, and my guess is.
I think that's probably a mental, I don't mean some kind of like crazy sounding. Yeah. What I mean is that would be some kind of a minor mental, like she has an issue. Like if she was positive, if she went and saw a psychiatrist or psychologist, they would talk to her about this.
Sure.
See, it's her mental health.
I disagree.
I disagree as well.
I think that is how almost every woman on the planet feels. And I don't think that, therefore, I don't think it's abnormal. I think any woman who has ever been larger or has ever struggled with anything and somebody else got chosen because they were pretty or they were something else than the person that you are, then that's how you feel. Like you feel guarded. You feel like I can't be myself. Like I can't be open. And I think almost every woman feels like that.
I think we're saying the same thing. The problem is that when we talk about mental health, we put a negative stigma on it. What I'm saying is that a lot of people suffer from different types of mental issues. And so it is normal, but that's the problem, is that mental health isn't a big scary thing. I think the problem is that people, I'm not saying, oh, she has this thing and she's just, we shouldn't make fun of her because of it. All I mean is that a lot of people suffer from mental body issues, or
I think a self-esteem issue does not rise to the level of a mental health issue. I think mental health issues usually run the gamut of bipolar or autism, or you know,
it's the difference between needing to talk to a therapist and needing to go to a psychiatrist.
Well, and I also think that even if you're struggling with depression or something like that and you go see somebody, I don't know that they would get down in the weeds about that particular issue because it's so normal. It's so ingrained in our society. Whoever you're talking to isn't even going to hear that as an issue.
Right.
That's what I meant by I don't think it's a mental health thing, because I just think that's the way our society is.
From a male perspective, from a father of two daughters, when you go to a grocery store and the front page of every magazine is Miley Cyrus in a bikini or, you know, all of these younger early 20s to late teens celebrities. I say that because, you know, then I have to put in the Jenners and the Kardashians, and they're not really celebrities. Their bodies are scrutinized to a degree where they have to Photoshop the way they look.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you look at a picture of Kendall Jenner that's unphotoshopped, she's not built the same way you see her on the cover of People magazine. So
yeah, we've reached a point where it's an act of rebellion for a woman to be like, here's a picture of me without Photoshop
or
here's,
makeup. Yeah.
Here's a picture of me without makeup.
That's yeah. crazy. Yeah.
But you know what I mean? So like when I don't want to speak out of turn, but when women see that on every single magazine, there is a stigma that is like, well, I don't look like that, mm-hmm. so I'm not good enough.
Well, and I mean, I see it even with my own daughter. I mean, she's, sure.
oh,
she's 11.
Yeah.
She's 11 and she doesn't even like to wear a swimsuit. Like there's nothing wrong with her body whatsoever. And she wants to wear a swim shirt. You
right.
know, like,
sure.
And she wants
she's,
to have.
She's trying to price out swim hoodies.
Yeah. Like for real. She wears a hoodie to school every day.
You guys may have found a new market.
Yeah. she wears a hoodie every day, even when it's hot. Like she doesn't want to show her body at all.
It sucks.
It does suck. It sucks. And I mean, and it's like there's nothing wrong with her.
Right.
And nothing at all. But that's what kids see every day and they're inundated with
yep.
it.
It's,
so
I think it's even worse for maybe kids your daughter's age and
yeah,
my
because they have the internet and we
right.
didn't have the internet
no.
like that. You
like
know,
like the girls that I had to look at was Amy Jo Johnson who might show up on Power Rangers. You know?
Yeah,
like
for sure.
Magazines weren't
Which one was she?
She was the pink.
The pink
one.
She's a pink. She was the pink ranger.
Yeah,
she was the white ranger when you were done with her.
No, that was a dude. he does the cons now. Like that's, but I mean, like they're
not discriminating. I mean, you can like him too.
That's
you know?
Fine. Yeah. But they like. I think our daughters are gonna mine, or maybe even more so than yours because
yeah.
she's so young and Lord knows what technology is going to be by the
right.
time mine's 11.
We'll be like VR looking
oh
at magazines.
My God. you know, it like it's scary,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you can all you can do is just be like, look, man, this isn't real.
Yeah.
Like whatever you see in those magazines on TV, none of it is real. So I think that her self-deprecation comes from being inundated with celebrities and what's.
It's a defense
quote,
mechanism.
Quote
yeah.
unquote popular.
You want to hide when you feel like you don't look like everybody else.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, when you don't look like what society perceives to be the norm.
Mm-hmm.
When the norm is Amy Schumer.
Right.
Like that's the norm.
Right.
Everything that the
better
the celebrities
than the norm.
Are. Well,
you know?
Yeah.
I mean,
but I mean like
yeah,
yeah, but you know what I mean? Like that she is built like
she's
a
more
she's
normal
built
than,
like a woman.
Yes.
Like
yeah.
that's the thing, and like those other people aren't.
That's why, I mean, this movie's deep, and I think that it really has a great message, and that's what I enjoyed and appreciated so much, was it's like, wow, because the whole point of this movie is you don't look like a model, but she thinks she does, and once she has confidence, look what starts happening for
yeah.
her.
Yeah.
It's
doors
like,
start opening.
You just,
yeah.
it's not about how you look as much as how you feel you look
yep.
and feel about how you look, and that's why it really gets deep, where it's like, wow, this is way more meaningful than I expected. I thought this was a shallow howl, just a dumb
thank God,
image type.
Sucked.
I don't know about that.
I don't
but,
like Jack Black
yeah.
at all.
So, yeah.
But, yeah, so she goes, she gets the job as the receptionist.
I like the fact that they do address the fact that, because I was really put off by the fact that, like, she's aspiring to be a receptionist.
Yeah.
And
they were like, it was she's going to take a pay cut.
Yeah.
They
and I was just
that.
Like, I'm like, why? This movie's doing everything else. Why is she aspiring to be a receptionist? And so,
Because she wanted to be in the center of it all, but the movie addressed.
But I'm
that.
Glad
oh,
they addressed
gotcha.
It like, because it's like she's on a different track, right? She's writing for the website, like she wants to be something. I'm not trying to trash receptionist, but that's
usually
clearly
the end game.
Yeah, that's clearly yeah. like typically that's a starting point, unless you're like an executive assistant or something, and that's a totally different type
yeah,
of
right.
thing. But to just sit there and answer the phones, I'm like, well, that's beneath
schedule
this character.
And stuff like that.
So I was glad that they addressed, because at first they didn't. It was just, she's like, I'm going to go for this job.
Yeah.
And I
immediately was
like,
why?
Yeah.
Why would you want to be a receptionist? Like, why
yeah.
are you going backwards?
Ew. Right. Ew.
But she's locked in a basement with someone that doesn't talk to her.
Yeah.
So it's like,
yeah,
it makes sense that she's
so good.
Yeah. She wants to be in it and be involved.
Right.
And so basically throughout, I mean, to long story short, basically she just tries, she keeps.
She starts advancing.
Yeah, they keep noticing her because they're trying to open this diffusion line at Target. We're
right.
very clear. And the grandmother,
who
the
is
actual,
that?
She's a model, isn't
oh,
she? Like, because they show a picture of her.
Yes,
like,
she's been. She's.
Oh, she looks
she's
super
so
familiar.
Freaking famous. Oh my god.
Yeah, that's let me see. I'm gonna look it up.
At first I thought it was Jessica
Lauren Hutton.
Oh yeah, my gosh, Hutton. That was Lauren Hutton?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because they show a picture of her at the end.
Yeah.
When she's younger.
She's gorgeous.
She still is. She is a knockout.
Yeah. So she basically is, you know, she's got this granddaughter who is, you know, very what you would think a model would be like, and very all about the looks and this, and she's taking the line in that direction. But the grandmother's like, no, this is a diffusion line. This is Target. We need someone
I do like where she's like, can you not sound like it's the worst thing?
Yeah, I love that. She's like,
diffusion line.
Like, it's just like, I love how she plays it up. Michelle Williams is awesome.
She was very good.
So basically, she keeps, Amy Schumer keeps catching her eye. She keeps doing things where she basically realizes, wow, this is the every woman. And she starts giving advice.
The scene where she knocks over the blush.
Yeah.
Thing,
like looking for the brush. She's looking for the brush. They're like, we don't put blush brushes.
She was just like,
well, if you're gonna go after every woman, you need that.
They need to be able to put it on. Yeah. Like, she's like, you do that, they're gonna look like Braveheart trying to put the stuff on. She's like,
every woman's the one doing it in their car, on the way to work, and if there's no brush, they're gonna be pissed.
Right. Yeah. And I was like, okay, right on. And then even like they start listening, and they're just like,
we don't understand what we're doing.
Yeah,
we
don't know what's happening.
So, question for the lady.
Yeah.
So, does high end makeup really not come with like a little brush?
Oh, for sure, it does not. Okay. That's why there's
they sell you $25 brushes.
Yeah, that's why you see like makeup brushes everywhere because
I don't see makeup.
Well, I mean, you see them for sale. I mean, surely you've seen nice makeup. Well, it's a thing.
If you go into Katie is really into makeup, and if you go into a what are those, Sephora's and all those stores,
Or
there
Mac
are
or something.
Aisles that
nothing
half
but
the
brushes.
Aisle is just different levels of brushes.
Yeah, like, I mean, you can buy $100 makeup brushes. So that's a thing.
Tom, let's put it like this. They're like wall books. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, it looks like wall books, but
at a comic book store.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. They're the books on the wall.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yes. It's amazing.
They're aspirational.
Exactly.
they have like a you know how there's different kinds of paint brushes that,
right.
Like where the bristles don't fall out and they're better at applying the paint?
Yeah.
It's the same thing for
more
makeup
washable.
Brushes.
No, I get that. I just didn't know that was a thing.
Oh,
totally a thing.
Yeah. Because they want to sell, so that's how they sell you that stuff.
Yeah.
They can't be including stuff because then you'd be like, oh, this is good enough.
Right. And I'm the opposite of Katie. Like, I don't use any of that.
Yeah.
I'm like whatever comes with the thing, you know.
Yeah.
There's been times I've used Q-tips, say whatever, whatever's laying around,
whatever's available.
Totally use my finger.
Have I used that Q-tip? I don't care. I put the earwax on my eyebrow. It's fine.
That's not me.
One's for your ear, one's for your makeup.
That's how guys would put makeup
judge.
On.
That's true.
That is exactly.
How much toilet paper do I have left? Nah, that's enough.
I will say, to speak for Katie, since she's not here, this movie is very realistic in the way they portray like Target and all that. Because Katie used to go to mainly the Sephora's and all those high-end stores and spend a ton of money.
Yeah.
But now Target has opened up this huge, like they've redone all their makeup aisles.
Yeah.
And now she can find really good quality makeup at a much affordable price.
And she can go in and pick it out herself
and
not get attacked by the salespeople. Exactly.
Which
they did nail that correctly.
So it's like
that was very cool.
Target really is doing that, and specifically the store they mentioned. Like, they're not like, oh, it's just a sponsor. Like, Target's doing this. And so I thought, wow, that is a very realistic portrayal of the way the makeup industry is, you know,
right,
for the every person that doesn't want to get.
So she's kind of moving up in this company by accident. She has all the confidence, but she's also willing to tell Michelle Williams' character, like, not a good idea. So she ends up like meeting the brother, and they have this, and this was it was an interesting scene where I was just like, okay, you've got this dude already. Like, are you going to kick this guy?
He's too good looking. You know, he's going to be the bad guy.
But he wasn't. But
he was never the bad guy.
Like,
he was when he knew
that.
No,
he wasn't.
Yeah, when he knew that she went to dinner with her boyfriend with them and then went on a trip and tried to.
They really didn't introduce it as the boyfriend.
They didn't introduce him as a boyfriend until they were at the bar when she thinks she's changed back.
Yeah.
I thought
they never called
bringing him to that dinner was pretty.
She says friend. She's like, I have a friend that I could bring with us.
Yeah. Well, she said, I have someone, meaning that she's.
I mean, I see where you're saying you're coming from, but they never specified.
Right.
And like, it wasn't like they were all handsy during dinner.
Yeah.
There was really no interaction.
And I do like where he's trying to mock the good looking guy, where he's just like, what's he doing? Like, so he takes his napkin
or like mimic him.
Yeah.
Honestly,
yeah.
I really
not
wasn't
mock,
calling
mimic,
this guy. I was more making a joke, honestly. But I wasn't really calling him that bad of a villain.
But he's not a villain.
She can't end up with him. He's a model.
Yeah,
you know?
He's like, clearly not. The message of the movie shouldn't be that you get a guy that looks like a model.
Because even if he appreciates you for who you are, it's like.
But You know, one of the things I really liked about this movie is it would have been really easy to turn all the model people
into villains.
Into mm-hmm. villains, mm-hmm. and it didn't.
Yeah. They turned one into a villain, and that was St. Louis's own Nikki Glaser, who's the gal who comes up to Amy Schumer.
She's friends with Amy Schumer.
She's the gal with like the blonde hair and the black dress that comes to the reception is like super mean, like
the reporter.
Was she a reporter?
No, that was an older woman though.
No. This was she's the gal who's just like, you work here?
Yeah, that first one.
So
yeah.
She runs into people that are kind of crappy.
But the
movie doesn't have like this overarching villain.
Like if you're pretty, you're bad.
Right. And it doesn't. Yeah, exactly. It doesn't equate pretty with bad.
Right.
Like, and so I thought it
was. Except for when she interacts with anyone at Lily LeClaire. Like they do treat her you're like, come on, like they're just perpetuating this stereotype if you're a pretty model, you're going to look down at Amy Schumer.
But the people who are in charge aren't like that, too.
The supermodel.
Naomi Campbell was.
But she has a turn.
Her side eye.
She does give her side eye, but then she's like, oh, this gal kind of knows what's going on.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, like she gets the diffuse.
But she still.
It would have been very easy to make Michelle Williams' character evil.
That was interesting.
And out to get her, or to like steal her ideas,
and not take credit.
And in the end, she like likes her.
But also, they do an interesting thing with Michelle Williams' character where
she has her own version of it.
Bingo.
Except hers is her voice.
Like, it's also her grandmother. Her grandmother is on her ass constantly about how that's not this company is not failing, but we're not doing as well as we should because of you.
Yeah,
you're dropping the ball. So at the same time where Amy Schumer was dealing with the self-confidence on a different level, Michelle Williams is dealing with the self-confidence because of her voice, but also because she feels like she's never going to be good enough in the eyes of her grandmother.
Right.
You know, and the fact that they don't turn her into the villain and they turn her into an ally.
Right.
Was super cool. Like
turn,
it was a cool turn.
That was different. Yeah.
I really liked it. It was like, basically it doesn't, even when you're pretty, it doesn't solve all your problems.
Right.
Like, just because you look the right way doesn't make everything okay.
Correct.
So we should talk about the boyfriend. So played by Rory Scovel.
Who I liked a lot.
Yeah. I did too.
This is interesting.
They're kind of doing the Chris O'Dowd thing from.
Well, you thought he was in it. And I'm like, yeah, he does look like
Chris
O'Dowd. So this is interesting. So what do we think about this guy? Because at first he wasn't really that into Amy Schumer, but he attracted to her personality, which is kind of what I think most people like. You know, looks aren't everything. They're making the point that it's your personality that's the attractive thing.
The sex scene was super interesting because they're initially the way they're playing it.
He doesn't want to see her. But he is ashamed.
Right. That's how they're playing it. And like he turns out the light and he starts getting undressed and then she turns on the light and he's like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, and he quickly turns it off and she turns it on and she's like, what are you doing?
But he's like, I love what I'm seeing. I didn't think you wanted to see me.
Right. And I was just like, what a nice little switcheroo.
He has his own body.
This is interesting because as a woman, I was never like, he's not that into her. It was that he had his own self-esteem issues and never thought that he could ask her out. Like, it would never even occurred to him.
But we're talking about stereotypes and movies. We're just thinking that it's like, oh, well, you know, this guy.
Well, I mean, like, so it's like
she's bigger than normal. So, like, I'm going to turn the lights out. It's just like,
we're led to believe that he wasn't interested from the get. Like, he became interested.
And that's what I'm saying, which is interesting because he doesn't seem that attracted to her. But the more he learns her personality, he's just like weird in the dry cleaners, but he's like, this is interesting.
Dude, he's like, are you?
And then she calls him up
in the mirror.
She calls him up and she's like, hey, I know it's really hard to ask someone else, so I'm gonna do it for you. And he's like, who is this? It's just funny. And so they go on a date, but she's the one taking all the initiative, and
she takes every single initiative. I also like where she's like, I love that. This is amazing. Like, I can eat whatever I want and not gain a pound.
I love is these are all crossed wires. She's not hearing anything different than what they're saying, and they're not holding their tongue necessarily, or like they're both crossing their wires. They're just saying things, and she's taking it a different way than what they're saying, which is so interesting because we do this all the time with especially again through text because it's so hard without inflection and the context there. But you know, it's just interesting that someone can say something and you could go off on a different direction.
It's that Key and Peele sketch.
Yeah.
Like, have you ever seen that one where they're texting back and forth and like the one guy's reading it as like, oh, like, this is what we're going to do. Yeah. Like, we're going to do this right now. And the other guy's
they're
like,
they're going to go fight or something. Yeah, the other guy's just like, yeah, that's fine or whatever. But he's like, he's like,
cool. He's like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah, exactly. So it's exactly that. So I like that this entire movie is about her because she is confident. She just takes everything with like a positive spin.
Right.
It's like, because I always like to say it's like the power of positivity. It really, if you are positive, it may not necessarily change the outcome of things, but the way that you perceive things really can help you.
It's true. It's just so funny because I talk to people about this all the time because I tend to be negative.
What?
I know. And and to me, it's not necessarily not being positive. It's being real, because those people were like not hearing. They were not saying the things that she was hearing. And so I would rather be realistic about what I'm hearing.
Fair enough.
Like having this rosy glasses thing and like interpreting all these things as good that weren't really good.
Right,
no,
right.
That's this is a different example, but I think, but they're trying to make the point of it though, is that it's just when you're positive and you are confident in yourself that good things will happen. I think this is how they're translating that to a movie, an hour and a half, 2 hour movie. You know?
I agree.
You shouldn't be stupid or naive, or you know what I mean? Like, you shouldn't ignore things that may be important and people are lying, but like, you're like, oh, they're just silly. Like, that's bad.
I get what you're saying. I'm just saying that I think that some people who are positive also can fall into that trap where they only hear good.
They can be a little Pollyanna.
Exactly.
One of the things that I need in my professional life is like, I don't need you to kiss my ass. Like,
right.
I know I'm good at my job. I need you to tell me what I'm doing wrong.
Right.
Because I can't fix it.
If you don't know.
If I don't know.
Exactly.
Very
and
true.
That's, I think that's a trap that people will fall into. They're just like, everybody's telling me I'm great, so
yes,
I'm great.
Exactly. And it can also turn into complacence. It is
exactly.
The opposite side of it.
Yes.
Like, I'm good, everything's fine.
Everything's fine. Like, I can just keep doing what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And there's no need for me to improve because
right.
I can't.
Right.
I'm too good. So she, like, the story's progressing and Michelle Williams.
Bikini contest. Can we talk about that scene?
It was great.
I love that scene so much.
Just like,
that
wait,
was hilarious. She doesn't have bikini, but they go to a bar.
You're going in there?
And she just has her little short shorts unzipped and she has her shirt pulled up to look like a bikini.
Yeah.
And
well, I think I feel like she was wearing like a bikini underneath, but
it was just a red bra.
Or it could have been, she talked before about
those
how
red,
she,
red,
it could have been bikini bottoms.
She wore bikini bottoms instead of underwear. Maybe right. She wore bikini top instead of a bra that day.
I think she had pink panties on too. Is that
no, they were red.
They were red.
Don't say that word.
So I mean, she does this whole, like, I don't want to say stripper routine, but I mean, she has a whole, she's down on fours. I mean, it is hilarious.
I do like where, so Dave Attell is the guy, and I think him and Amy Schumer are also pretty tight. It's interesting how many comedians look at Dave Attell as
a comics comic.
Yes.
Like they,
he's like the godfather.
He was back in the like late 90s, early 2000s, he was awesome. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was a big deal.
He rode with Dane Cook when that was a thing.
Yeah.
Like, he, you know, they.
I remember
I
Comedy Central in those days.
Dane
it was
Cook.
Like Dave Attell was a big deal.
Yeah. So. He's just like, look, she would have won, but, you know, that's my goddaughter, so I had to do what I had to do, and she wins, blah, blah. And
but
I
they
do,
got
like,
a free dinner and appetizers, so it was all good.
And she's like, what?
Yeah, she's so happy.
Living
like,
the dream.
Is way better.
And I think,
way better. And I know that a lot of this stuff revolves around cross wires, but I think that's kind of a good example of when the movie's like just... she chose to interpret it as a positive. She chose to be like,
right.
I didn't win, but it doesn't mean that I'm not hot.
Yeah.
It just
right.
means that these
like,
things are political.
And he's just
and,
like, political, yeah. And of course, we know already that the guy's like, no, it's my goddaughter. That's why she won. It's fine. And then they hook up, and it's a good scene to begin with because, like, she walks around the corner, and he was just like, he's got his back to her, and she says, hey, and he turns around. He's like, oh.
She's like, I thought you'd like a sneak peek.
Yeah, and he was like, you're not really wearing anything, so it's not really a sneak peek. She's like, well, I could put clothes back on. He's like, no. Like, we're good.
No, I really, there was some really good writing in this, because, no, she actually was like, oh, I'm not? Like, I just, it was just really clever, you know, like, oh, like,
my favorite
I'm
part of the whole
home.
Thing is when she's looking at herself in the mirror, and he's just like, are you looking at yourself in the mirror? And she was like, yeah. He's like, all right, I'm into it.
That when I saw it, I'm like, oh, like that's just so gross to think about. Like,
what's
having
gross?
Having sex with someone and then looking in the mirror at themselves.
I think it's funny. I think that
is funny. I'm just saying, like,
but it's
oh.
also it's very reminiscent of the scene with John Cena in Trainwreck, where like he's looking at his muscles the entire time, and like, you know,
yeah,
that's
the
only
funny
way he can get
in
off
real
is
life,
by looking at his own
in
muscles.
Real, in real life, if you were on a first date and you found someone doing that, how would you react to that?
I would continue.
Looking at themselves when you're doing, I mean.
It's fine. It's whatever.
I mean, I know Tom did that because he's obviously.
Well, look at me.
But yeah.
But we know he's a bottom.
I just meant like in real, real life terms, I'm like, oh, come on.
Anyway. You know, she jumps up in front of the window and he's just like, what are you doing? And she's like, what? Let him look. I don't care.
Felons, they can get a free show.
Yeah, they get a free show. And
he
so
just,
like,
he falls in love with her confidence. That's what it is. It more and more he sees how confident and open she is and confident in herself. And it just keeps growing where he's like, he really falls in love with her. And he thinks she's the most beautiful woman in the world. He says it like it's not, she may not be a traditional beauty like all these models that we keep seeing, but it's the whole package. It's not just looks. It's, you know.
Yeah. She's got, I mean, she's got the confidence and the sense of humor. She's got all this stuff. At the same time, she is starting to become the thing that she did not want to become, where she's starting to alienate? Yes. Her friends, and she's starting
becoming kind of a mean girl, you know?
She is becoming a mean girl.
She's
dressing different.
Because she thinks that you have to look, now she's fallen into the trap where they have to look a certain way to be attractive because she thinks she looks a certain way.
Right. So they go on like that grouper three-way date, and
she makes an idiot of herself. I mean, it is just.
And it was bad.
It's embarrassing.
It was real bad. So now her friends have kind of been like, no, dude, like, we're good.
Yeah, we don't need
like,
you. I mean, she's insulting them. And she thinks she's, like, helping them, but she's insulting them.
And she's screwing up their date.
Well, that's the thing is, like, and A.D. Bryant is starting to have this connection with this dude across the table where they're talking about his scarf. And, like, they're having this, but they're having an interaction.
I love that.
Yeah, like, they're having an interaction, and it's, like, it's something is there. You can tell something's there.
As, like, stereotypically nerdy as that sounded, they were connecting. Like,
they were.
That
they
was
were
their
connecting.
Connection.
Yeah. And
like,
then,
usually on a first date, you don't want to be like, oh, my knitting collection. Like, you know what I mean? Those are things that you don't generally, but they connected on that level.
Leanne tells the story all the time. I was wearing a black t-shirt, just plain black t-shirt, camo shorts, flip-flops, and this hat.
Dressing
for
to
your
impress.
First date?
Yeah. I was like, whatever.
And she's like, I got to lock that down.
She goes,
that's hilarious.
She goes, I walked in there and looked at you and I was like,
And she was. She walked in, she saw the black shirt and the camo shorts and was like, put a baby in.
Yeah. And I was like, I'll do you one better. I'll put two.
But you know what? What a great example of someone being themselves and being real. Because that's how Joe dresses, though. T-shirt, shorts, you know what I mean? That hat. That's how Joe dresses. He didn't bait and switch her. He didn't dress up in a suit and be like, I'm so fancy.
No.
And then 2 weeks later or whatever.
Oh,
or
by the way.
Then he pulls out those camo shorts.
Yeah. So it's like, you
in
know
all
what?
Fairness, those camo shorts have been retired. Yeah. They are... And not by
recently, not by you.
By
no,
Leanne.
No, they blew out, so I had to get rid of them.
Oh, okay,
they were old.
Forced so you retirement.
Yeah, they're forced
on your first date.
Yeah, right.
But that's kind of like the moral of this story,
but
though.
The thing
like,
is, like
Joe
she walked in, and I was just like, look at this prissy.
And she,
like, no,
and she judged him and said, oh, no, but
yeah,
it's like, but look,
I did the
now,
same thing to her, though.
But their personalities, and that's why you can't judge a book by its cover. It sounds old, but like looks aren't everything.
She's going to hear this and be like, what? Dating is about judging people.
It
totally is.
Because you're trying to find somebody that you want to be with. So you're
Van Wilder
going to judge them.
Said it best. A first date is an interview.
Yeah.
It absolutely
is. Exactly
yeah.
what it is. So.
That's why I brought a resume, right? Remember that?
Cover letter.
Yeah.
No references.
Did you leave?
Because let's be honest. Let's be on the side of caution. We don't need any of Tom's references.
Did you put your last employment on the resume?
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
you don't want to call my former boss.
Oh, dear. That could have been a completely different conversation had I known that.
That was the equivalent of me not wearing camo shorts.
Camo cargo shorts.
Yes. If I can. She is the human equivalent of camo cargo shorts, which might be an insult to camo.
It is because they're pretty cool.
So the grandma wants her to go on this big pitch
to
Target
Boston.
For the diffusion line.
Right. So she goes and things.
The brother sneaks on the private jet,
which I thought
to
was
go to
like,
a baseball
I was
game.
Like, yeah, he's like, what are you doing? She's like, I gotta. Is she out? And she's like, yeah, she's out. She's like, well, I'm going to the Yankees and Sox.
Clearly, it's like he's not a part of this business, but he enjoys the money and the access
to
the models
like
and everything.
Yeah.
He's
the line about the Brazilian model.
That was funny.
She's like, that could have gone one of two ways, and I'm really glad
I've seen you with this drink. I've also seen you with Brazilian models on your hands, but didn't think they'd fit
in the
fridge.
They wouldn't fit in the fridge. I was
like,
that's a good line.
This writing was good. I really enjoyed it, yeah.
So she goes, and like she's starting to have this connection with the brother. And I was like, oh, man, like, don't
screw over the nice
don't
guy.
Screw over the, not even the nice guy, but, like, don't turn her so hard that it's going to be really hard to redeem her at the end,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
And they don't, to their credit.
She's fixated on him for a moment, but she snaps out of it when she gets a message from the boyfriend. And then she's like, okay, I got to go.
Right.
Whatever.
So. She says, I have the diarrhea.
Yeah, this was, yeah. She went a very different direction than I would. Yeah.
He's just like, what?
Because she said, it's
I'm
awful. Wet.
I'm wet.
That was funny.
Diarrhea.
Yeah.
Right.
She course corrected because.
Yeah. It was a very funny line, and that's the Amy Schumer that comes out a little bit from Trainwreck. Yeah. Like she sprinkles it in a little bit, just enough to keep like. Yeah.
I'm just very glad it wasn't that movie. It was funny because it was so sparse,
the flip side of that is she actually has diarrhea. You know what I mean? Like that's that movie where it actually happens instead of she's
exactly
like desperately trying to get herself out of the situation. So
I think this is another example real quick, though, is that this movie, being PG-13, is an example of you can be funny without being vulgar. Think about the comedians you grew up with, Tom. Like, you know what I mean? Comedians didn't used
Richard
to be
Pryor,
rated
Andrew
R.
Dice Clay.
Andrew Dice Clay.
Eddie Murphy.
They were just angels.
Yeah. But that's the exception.
Robin
I just
Williams.
Mean, like, the older comedians even. Like, there were really funny people in the 50s, 60s that...
I didn't grow up in the
50s. How old do you think? No, but you're a fan. No, my point... You still grew up
that
with...
That was like my dad's era, man.
But Tom appreciates. I'm not... You know what I'm saying.
Yes.
You grew up listening to those classic comedians, and they used to be so funny, and they didn't curse.
You like those clean-cut all-American comics like Bill Cosby.
I wasn't going to use that reference because you can't say that anymore, but that was the reason.
That was the image projected.
Right,
like,
and it's
best we knew.
Yeah.
See, and that's... So a modern reference would be Mike Birbiglia. So, like, his last special was very rated
or
R.
Or even John Mulaney.
Yeah, but John Birbiglia started off...
Mike Birbiglia.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, you just... But Mike Birbiglia started off... He did not curse.
Nope.
And he was hilarious. His first couple albums... were not vulgar, did not have profanity, but were hilarious. And so this movie is an example of you don't have to put in curse words and vulgarity to be funny, because when you're smart, you can, right? Those comedians that didn't curse were smart because the jokes are like, oh my God, that's clever. And so that's what I really enjoyed about this one, is it's smart.
And so, those clean comics would go do Fryer roast.
Correct. Yeah. And it's a whole different beast.
They,
Bob Saget, for example.
Melt your face.
Well, Bob Saget was only not bad on Full House. That was the
that's what I'm saying.
Right?
America's funny. He did a 180 from his act.
Yeah. That was the act. Was the
act was the
comedians that knew him were like, how did you end up the Mike Brady of your generation?
They're like, you are a genius.
He is the Mike Brady of our generation, isn't he? Yeah, I guess that's true. So she goes in the bathroom and she hits her head. She comes to and
the spell's over.
She believes that the spell has been broken and she's distraught.
She just runs home.
She can't run home because she's in Boston. So she has to, like, how did she get home?
She went to the, they showed her going to the airport and she pulled out her credit card.
She had
to just go buy a ticket.
I gotcha. That makes sense. But I mean, also she mucked up the whole thing.
Yeah.
Like,
I was like, that was
the fact
totally
that she still has a job.
It really upset me that she just like, I was like,
see ya.
Being was like totally pissed off.
As someone that has had a job, you know, like it's ridiculous, but she also saved the day in the end. So like that's kind of her makeup, but no, totally.
But like in the real world,
that
she'd never get a chance to sneak in and
absolutely
in
not.
End,
not as
so.
A DHL.
Never. No,
that's where
which
we
I don't
to,
even think it's a thing anymore. No. I don't think DHL.
I think it's a thing.
DHL is a thing.
Is it?
I thought the movie magic of it all. But
right.
So
she goes home and like everything's a mess. And
she tries to make it up to her friends.
And her friends are like, boop. Nope.
But
like,
she apologizes.
Also, kind of shitty friends that you don't get one screw up.
Yeah, I kind of felt the same way where she was. I mean, she like granted she came to the door drunk. But I agree with you where it's just like she has been front and center with you this whole time. And now you're just kind of like,
I mean, it's a short time period. No one says they would have never forgiven her, but she was kind of the worst. Like
she was the worst one time.
So
you'd be mad at her for a while. Like she was.
I just think that was just a case of they didn't really show the friends enough. There wasn't enough character development.
Yeah, I would agree. So then she's got to go on this, you know, the I broke my back kind of thing. I thought was really funny with the boyfriend where he FaceTimes her and well, I guess
he's
they
like,
really
oh,
can't
you're
call.
Home.
Yeah. And she's like, yeah. And she drops to the floor. He's like, oh, my God. Are you all right? She's like, oh, I just broke my back. She's like,
he's like,
just
now.
And then, of course, she doesn't hang up and she stands up and he's like, hey, you're back. She like, drops back down.
She's dodging him until she finally shows up for a date, but then she decides she can't do
and
it.
Again, like, I think this is such a brilliant scene where he thinks she's role-playing. thinks he doesn't know who she is.
I thought they were going to fix it. Yeah. I wanted them to fix it.
I thought it was going
to
happen right then. Yes. Right?
I felt so uncomfortable, because especially bad for this guy, because he seems like such a nice guy and he loves her, and then she breaks it off with him, and I felt for him. Like, this was a really hard scene to watch. Well done, but its credit, this was uncomfortable when she just is like, I'm the way she plays it up, because you know she's not role playing and she's putting emotion into it,
and you think he's like goofing around and he's kind of joking with her, but
I love that he was like ready to like go into the role. He was like, let's just roll with it, let's do it
she's a goofy funny person. Like, that's exactly
I do like where she keeps looking back at him and he's just like,
no, it's a great scene, because she thinks you won't recognize.
Yeah, yeah, like, he's just like, what are you talking about?
So she goes and fixes it all.
She tries to make another wish and it doesn't work. And then she realizes that she's like, okay, I just got to lean into this curve. So she calls her friends. She's like, look, I'm really sorry. I need you at this place on Friday night. Please be there. She kidnaps her IT buddy to set everything up. They go to like the launch
she
of the
like kidnap him. She
well, I mean, she enlists him to help. Convinces him, yeah. Why does she go to the company in the DHL outfit?
She wanted to see. We didn't like this scene because she went there to make sure that the model that she had run into at SoulCycle like three times was really interviewing for the target line.
That's right. Yeah. So we do get that. That's a very good scene where they run into each other at
SoulCycle again. I think it was SoulCycle again.
They were in the gym of locker room of SoulCycle. Yeah.
She's crying over a breakup.
And she's just like, wait, somebody broke up with you?
I love that scene.
Somebody's tired of having sex with you?
Yeah. She's like, do you even have all the same ribs I do?
It's a
very good scene. I remember a buddy of mine said, a friend of mine said, he's like,
you get that a lot, Joe?
No. He's just like, there's all, like, for every hot chick who has a boyfriend,
there's some dude
that's tired of having sex with that. And it's just like
words to live by.
Yeah,
it's true.
I think especially because I'm gonna just go on like the stereotype, but these models or the way they're usually portrayed that think they're hot stuff. Who wants to put up with that 24/7?
That's true. They usually have bad attitudes and stuff like that. Yeah.
And that's the thing, is like Emily Ratajkowski in this movie is never bad.
Right.
She seems like a very nice, down to earth.
Because the snotty people that we usually see portrayed in these movies would never talk to Amy Schumer in the locker room in the first place.
She was this your first time she was being nice to her? Yeah. We're like our guards up because she's being snarky to her. But no, she's a nice person. Yeah,
yeah, she was being nice because the employees of SoulCycle weren't.
Yeah. That's correct. That is correct.
Peloton, they're very inclusive. I'm just saying, when you walk in, they don't care what size you are. They love you.
No matter what.
They do.
That's right. They also love your money.
Well, they are a business.
They're still running a business.
I get it.
We do too, and we will love you for $5 or more a month
over at patreon.com/realspoilers. That's real with two e's. So she goes and she ends up hijacking the launch, and she goes into this.
And Michelle Williams is bombing.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, she's tanking completely. So Amy Schumer comes in and she steals the show.
I love that she tries to jump through like a football
multiple times.
And you just think she's going to get through it eventually. No, and so she's like, "Oh," and walks
around. Stumbles around. She's like, "I thought it was a breakaway."
That's a good physical comedy bit right there.
She's not as big as she thought.
I tried to tell you that she's not that big. She goes into her soliloquy.
This is great. Two projectors on either side.
Right, she's looking at. She's like, "This is me. This is who you. Yeah. This is who you want to be. This is who you are."
And everyone, and like, they're both they just keep like cutting to
but
the people in the audience.
If you look at that message, the message is they're both the same. Like, who you want to be and who you are is the same person. So it's a very the double speak and the crossed wires works perfectly. And then she turns around and looks at the pictures, and she's just like,
it's the first time she had seen pictures of herself
pre-concussion.
Who prepared this thing?
So that was kind of an oopsie.
That did not make sense.
So I guess I felt like it was part of her presentation.
Yeah, but you would have thought that
she would have looked at them.
Oh, that's true.
I mean, if you're putting the PowerPoint together.
That's a good point.
It didn't make sense. And also, if we're going to try to be realistic, if she would have seen that, I don't think she would have thought that her whole past weeks in a second, maybe she hit her head. Like, maybe it's part of her confusion or something that she's seeing herself differently now. Like, I don't think she would go, oh, that whole time I wasn't different. Like, that's a stretch to think she all of a sudden would believe that.
Right.
Because
they had like 10 minutes left.
I know, that's what I'm saying. So like, if you really want to get into it, it's like, yeah, you could really pick that same part.
Right. So she does, and she delivers the
a great
speech,
about, yeah.
And she kills it, and the diffusion line is off and running.
Michelle Williams, that was really weird, but thanks or whatever. Like that.
Right, right. But I also very effective.
Yeah,
also
I love that she said that was weird.
And they embrace, and she's just like, I'm really sorry, I mucked that up. And
but she does say, like, I still have a job. Like, she even is
yeah,
like.
Right. She's like, of course you do, yeah. You're the executive vice president of the diffusion. It's like, Jesus, you were a receptionist. Like,
she really
ago.
Does. Power of positivity.
Yeah, that's right. So then she goes and she ends up. This is another great scene where she's talking to the boyfriend.
Picking her nose.
on camera.
Like, she has no idea that there's a camera there. And he comes out and they embrace. And he was just like, wait a second. And he plucks the booger out of her nose.
Which, ew.
I mean, it's whatever. Like, you know.
No.
He didn't eat it.
You know,
no.
You don't
touch somebody else's nose.
No.
No.
That's why we're married.
That's fair. Yeah.
She's never touching my boogers. I'm never touching hers.
So he's just like, you saw me? She's like, yeah, I just saw you the whole time on the camera. She's like, that's a camera? And she's like, yeah. So they have, they embrace and they're back together. And she goes to the non-Peloton place and she gets back on the bike and like that's kind of how the movie ends. Is she's just
tightens
kinda
all the screws.
Yeah, yep. She's just riding.
She made
sure
she got the good bike that time.
Right. Oh, that's why she goes back to that bike place, is because she wants to recreate what happened to her.
Yeah. The third time.
Right. She's like, I need
but
this
size.
But
now she's confident. She's just like,
is just bike number 37 available? And then she sees Emily Ratajkowski crying.
Yeah.
Yes. That's right.
Yeah.
And then that's how it ends. It's got an insanely positive message.
It does.
It's such a good message. I didn't think this movie wasn't meant for me, which it doesn't have to be meant for me.
You don't connect with it because we don't live our lives like this every day, Crystal and every other woman does. And so I could see totally. I think the message is great.
I completely understand.
I didn't go, that was the best movie. Where Katie's like, I really liked this movie.
Yes.
I've been in this part. So it's going to affect people differently, but I can recognize totally.
Absolutely.
For women, like, it's an empowering film.
I felt like they nailed it. It was sweet, and
that's
it was
great.
Also a good movie. It was enjoyable, and it didn't have a message where they're like patronizing you the whole time.
Yeah.
And it was just a good movie.
Yeah.
With a good message.
And I think it was smart that they made it PG-13.
Yep.
Yes.
Very.
Yeah, definitely.
And it's interesting. I'm glad they, I mean, maybe you released this 2 weeks ago. Give yourself some breathing room between this and Avengers. I think you're right. I think
I don't. How about A Quiet Place?
Well, it's also like you're gonna get you go. I'll go to Avengers. You go see.
Yeah, I don't. I don't think there's a lot of
crossover
debating whether or not they're gonna go see Avengers or I feel
that's
pretty.
True. That's true.
Yeah,
but yeah, it was very well done. I was glad to see. You know, Amy Schumer steering out of the raunch curve.
This is going to get really good word of mouth. You know, this is going to be next week, as counter programming. Like you said, I mean, I think everyone is going to go see Avengers. I mean, that's a four quadrant kind of a deal.
Yep.
But I also think after Avengers is done, or maybe a different day of the weekend, this is going to be a girls' night out movie next week from all the people that heard such good things. Like,
yeah,
this is going to have a great second week.
I know the Peloton community is going to go see it because they want to see what SoulCycle's like.
I will also say there was a couple sitting like behind me, and there were scenes where I could hear the woman just sobbing.
Uh-oh.
And I was just like, good, okay.
The awkward drive home.
It was a very, yeah, well, yeah. For me too, because I was like, what the hell? This is weird.
Your date night isn't ending like you would hope.
Were you the only guy in your theater?
No, I was the only single guy in the theater.
Well, right.
There were couples.
Aren't you married?
I mean, like, there were couples in the theater. But like,
I was one of Leanne, very few guys.
Leanne wanted to go, but like our schedules just could not make it work. But yeah, I was.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well,
there you go.
I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
You can find me on Twitter or Instagram at clip.crystal, or you can also find me on Facebook at Crystal D. O'Keefe.
And you should probably plug your other podcast.
My other podcast is The Clip Out, which you can find at theclipout.com.
And this is Joe. You can also follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett. You can read my reviews on ReviewSTL.com. And thank you again to our Patreon supporters. If you listen to last episode, The Box Office or 173.5, Joe and I are going to do this weekly extension of Real Spoilers.
Yeah.
But it's where we can go into our conversational off-roading, talk about things the listeners want to listen to. We already have four of you that have jumped on board. It's only been a couple days that we've even promoted this. So thank you so much. And for everyone else that wants to be involved, it's awesome. awesome. So go listen to that episode for more information.
And there'll be more to come.
Yes.
Awesome. And you can find me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. If you want to continue the conversation online, you can find us at facebook.com/Real Spoilers. While you're there, join a league of show sharers. Run over to iTunes, rate, review, subscribe, and of course, patreon.com/Real Spoilers. So that's it for this episode.
We're taking next week off, right?
Is that what we're doing?
Yeah, I don't think there's anything coming out.
Oh, okay. That works for me. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're good.
Okay.
Yeah.
No one excited about anything. Yeah.
I think we all know what's in store for next
week. I think
we
do.
Yeah. So it's like Christmas for nerds.
Hashtag where's Hawkeye?
Hashtag two-parter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No kidding. So anyway, that's it for this episode. Thanks for tuning in. Until next time, Jack writes Madeline out of the will and leaves his money to the butler.
One pill makes you larger and one pill makes you small. And the ones that mother gives you don't do anything at all. Go ask Alice when she's 10 feet tall. And if you go chasing rabbits and you know you're going to fall, tell him a hookah smoking caterpillar has given you the call. Call Alice when she was just small.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.